It is exactly 7:45 on a Saturday morning. Time once again for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. I'm still feeling rather full of turkey.
Well, that's the whole point, though, isn't it? To kind of load up and stuff up and, you know, enjoy it.
Absolutely. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
We had a terrific Thanksgiving. Thank you. The entire family, but one cousin, were up at our farm in northern Minnesota, and just a very classic Thanksgiving dinner as far as turkey and all the accoutrements and all the sides. You know, nothing fancy, nothing spicy, but just a wonderful, wonderful time.
Well, that's great. And before we get on with our chat today, I'm looking at a text from a listener. It said, "Could you please ask Ted to, if he has time, to tell his dad's recipe for shepherd's pie?" pretty easy one. Maybe you can do that somewhere down the line.
Actually, Denny, you know what? On my notes for today's show, I was probably going to put that first because kind of the theme was leftovers, and I was going to tell the story. You know, and it was, I think, about 13 years ago, give or take a year or so, that we decided, we were up at the farm, and we decided we were going to have a leftover competition. And everybody, you know, hey, do what you want. Let's do something creative with the leftovers. I created some turkey enchiladas that I thought were going to be a showstopper. Absolutely terrible, just for the simple fact that turkey is a blander meat. There was no flavor in it whatsoever. Another sibling made, I think it was turkey lasagna, and kind of the same thing happened as far as, you know, that turkey meat just didn't give it a spiky flavor the way Italian sausage does. Again, not very good. And then somebody else made some soup that actually looked like gruel that was just, you know, subpar. And as we were preparing all this stuff and kind of breaking it out, my wife, Laura, looked around and said, "Our kids are not going to touch or eat anything. They're going to need something to eat." So then she quickly whipped together, which is now the Farrell family shepherd's pie that has now become a tradition after the meal, or actually when we clean up the meal, we build it right then and there so it's ready for the next day. And it's such a simple recipe when you're messing around with all those leftovers. You simply layer... You put your first layer down, which is the potatoes. All the mashed potatoes, just smear on the bottom of a casserole, no problem. Then you layer on the turkey. Then you put the turkey right on top of that. It's all sliced up, all the different pieces whatsoever. Then you put the stuffing on top. And then with that, you know, now you can vary it. Some people, like a couple of years, I think we might have put the stuffing on first, then the turkey. But, you know, there's, you know, not an exact science to it. Then you put that layer of dressing on top next, and then you pour the gravy on top of the whole kit and caboodle, and then you put it, we do that. We build it the Thanksgiving night for the following day, and then you put that in the oven, just to warm it up, maybe at the most a half an hour at about 375, 350, depending, and then you just serve away, and every single bite is just Thanksgiving deliciousness. And it's so simple. You just layer out your stratas as far as all the different leftovers, so you can do your stuffing first if you want to, then put the turkey on top, then put the mashed potatoes and put the gravy on top, and then warm that up. It is such a wonderful treat, and it's an all-in-one dish that you get a little bit of the turkey, you get the dressing, you get some of the gravy. It was quite funny. We told some English friends about this thing, and like, they're so excited about a shepherd's pie, and they all looked at each other all at once. "The gravy's on top? You must be mad."
Well, it's funny because
another, it definitely works. And it's always such a great way, too, to, you know, I hate to say clean up stuff, so you put everything in that one dish so you have a lot fewer things to clean rather than loading up Tupperware with all your different leftovers here and there. So it's a fun, fun tradition that we do. And, again, a great usage of the leftovers. And that's kind of the other thing that I wanted to roll into is sort of you talk about the leftovers, and usually at Thanksgiving, you have a lot of people on the table. You're not exactly sure who's going to drink what and how much is going to be left over, and you oftentimes have some leftover wine and what you can do with that. Now, there's an old tradition, that came out of actually the House of Saxony in Germany that started, and it spread around all the royals and the swells. And it's a drink literally called cold duck. Now, what the Duke of Saxony did, and this was, you know, almost 200-300 years ago, after one of their big royal parties and whatnot, he realized how much leftover wine there was. So he had his servants combine all the leftover bottles into one kind of big vat and then mix that with some champagne. And then they had it the next day, cold duck. Actually, the German word originally meant cold end. You know, you kind of serve that with your leftovers and whatnot. Now, the cold duck actually eventually moved into a drink that you see on the shelf still, but it's not a very good sparkly wine made by Andre. I wouldn't recommend it, but the idea was you gathered up all your old wine and you used it in a great way as far as blending it with sparkling wine to just kind of get it moving. And that's one of the things to think about when you're having all these leftover wines, what to do with that. One thing that I would always recommend that any wine lover has around the house is a VacuVin wine sealer. It is such a brilliant invention, so simple. It's a little rubber cork that has a valve on it that you just slide in that bottle, and then you have a little hand pump, and then you just, you know, 3-4 pumps. Now that wine is ready, and that wine you could have around for another week or so, and it's so affordable. I believe you can get a pump and a little rubber stopper for about $10. You can get other stoppers as well. Now, I know there's some people out there go, what is this mysterious thing called leftover wine? I understand that, but sometimes it does happen. You know, usually you consume it all up, but with that leftover wine, the VacuVin closure is a terrific way to preserve that wine, and it's so simple. Again, you just slide the little rubber cork in there, you pump it away, you get all the oxygen out, and you can keep that wine probably for another 10 days around the house without that. There's a few other preservation methods that are kind of nice. One, I've always kind of found it just as a retailer, I always kind of thought it was a little bit of a farce. It's called Wine Preserve, and it's a can that's full of inert gas that you kind of put one of those long plastic tubes into your bottle, you squirt it 2 or 3 times, you slide the cork in, and that inert gas pushes all the oxygen out. And the thing I always thought about it, the can itself seemed lighter than air. I mean, it was so thin, you're like, come on, there has to be something to this. But it does work quite well. But I think for me, the VacuVin is still the easiest way to preserve that thing and go with it. But also, there's some other things, you know, go ahead and cook with that leftover wine. You can keep it around your tabletop and you add that into your different sauces, different, if you're making marinara sauce and you have a little leftover red wine, pour that in there and let it simmer off. It adds so much flavor to those wines. See what you're doing. It's just terrific. So that's kind of a few things that you can do with those wines. Save them. Now, there's a few friends that would love to actually combine some wines. So sometimes, believe it or not, that old cold duck method might be kind of interesting because you could have had like a Chardonnay that was a little flabby, and then you pour it into a little bit of Chablis, and all of a sudden it brightens it. Now, I would always recommend if you're going to kind of do a little mad scientist sort of experiment in your kitchen as far as mixing those wines, try to keep it grape varietal to grape varietal. It's a little bit easier when you're blending reds because there's, you can pour a little Pinot Noir and Cabernet, and, you know, it's just one of those things. Take it as it is. You're not going to be inventing the wheel or creating some new thing, but you're just prolonging it. So you could pour a little bit of red wine in there and fill that bottle up all the way to the top, slide a cork back in there, and it will preserve it a little bit longer. Of course, you could always throw the VacuVin sealer in there to make it even longer. But, you know, using that as a recommendation. I'm sure some of the wine critiques out there would just say, oh my God, they're rolling over in their grave. What is this guy talking about? But you can blend in some of those wines, which are kind of fun to do, you know, and again, it is experiment. And if it doesn't work, well, then pour it out or pour it into the next, sauce that you're going to make and be terrific. Also on the preservation side, or as far as wines that will last a long time, we actually, because of the stuffing my mother makes that goes into that world-famous shepherd's pie, one of the key ingredients to that is sherry. We usually use Amontillado sherry, which comes from Spain. Wonderful flavoration. Actually, it almost has a little bit of kind of almondy flavor to it, which really adds to that. But the interesting thing about fortified wine is that they have a propensity, even after being open, to last a long time. We actually were cleaning out the cabinet for over the years. There's all kinds of different sherries that we've used, and all of a sudden we realized, well, there's one that's half consumed and it's 3 years old, another one half consumed 2 years old. So we did a little bit of a sherry tasting just to see how they figured out. And the amazing thing is those ones that still had some age on it weren't so bad. I mean, they were terrific to put in. You cook off some of the deleterious notions of it when you're kind of searing it off and boiling off the alcohol. But a fortified wine is simply a wine that's being made and its fermentation process is stopped by the addition of alcohol. And usually in Spain, they use brandy. So it's a higher in alcohol, generally, let's say a fortified wine's about 30% versus the 17 that a normal table wine has. But because of that, the potential of aging is far greater. I mean, you still see and hear about Thomas Jefferson and some of his Madeiras. Now, Madeira is another Spanish wine made in the same fashion, but those higher in alcohol wines, you know, have a propensity of lasting far longer. And a nice little thing to put in there. We also, for a little dessert, we had a Pedro Ximénez sherry. And this is a Solera method sherry, which is an interesting way to go about it. After they do that, they start out with several barrels of wine. Let's just, for simple math, just say 100 barrels of the particular sherry. They let that steep in the barrel. They get a little bit of the angel share. And then every year or every 2 years, they'll take what is left of those 100 barrels and now pour it into 80 barrels and then age it a little bit longer. And then they keep on doing that until, let's say, you get to about 30 or 40 barrels. You have a very intense flavored wine, wonderful, delicious wine. But the interesting thing is some of those barrels that they age in are even up to about 100 years old. So it's a real unique experience. But the nice thing about that, it was a brilliant little sherry to serve with all those desserts that you have because there's a little bit of nuttiness to it, a little bit of flavoration. The bottle itself was on the expensive side at about $74. But the nice thing is a little bit goes a long way. You just need a little dollop in your glass to enjoy. And since it's fortified, it can stick around quite long. So it's the Pedro Ximénez, fun little wine to do that, enjoyable with all those desserts, Denny.
Absolutely. And any ideas you hear, and Ted has so many of them, you can always find or certainly ask the good folks at any one of the Haskell's locations, and they will be glad to help you out, right?
You are correct, Denny. And then, we have Haskell's all throughout the metro area to take care of any of your needs, whether they're holiday or just any day. We have Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekends. Haskell's in Minnetonka, right across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center. We have a Haskell's right in Highland Village off of Ford Parkway. There's a Haskell's in Lowman's Plaza down in Bloomington. If you're out on the lake, you might not be on the lake today, in Excelsior. We're right in downtown Excelsior. Stop by the pub for a burger. There's a Haskell's in White Bear Lake, Haskell's out in Stillwater. There's a Haskell's down in Faribault, right off of 35. Haskell's in Plymouth. You could always stop by the Haskell's Super Cellar in Maple Grove. If you can't do any of those, always feel free to stop by Haskell's.com 24/7. And by the way, we have a Cyber Monday promotion coming up, Denny. 15% off all gift certificates on Cyber Monday. What a fun deal that is.
Oh, what a great idea. Now, yeah, take advantage of that. And Ted, always fun. Always fun. Listeners, a great reaction to your show today. Let's do this again next week. What do you say?
Well, I look forward to that, Denny, and go Gophers.
Yeah, go Gophers. Thank you, Ted. Ted Farrell from Haskell's.